All right, in this lesson, we're going to look at the setting of Children's Church. The setting of Children's Church. I think one of the greatest things about working with children is that they really don't expect a lot. Now, it takes a lot to keep their attention at times, but when it comes to surroundings, kids just really aren't that picky. You can have Children's Church in the damp, dark basement and still have an effective Children's Church. Now, adults are very picky about their surroundings. You know, if you try to stick an adult in the basement, they're going to frown at that. They want to have the bright, clean, freshly painted, stylish surroundings. You know, they don't want to be somewhere that they don't want to go into a classroom that has shag carpet from the 70s. They're going to balk at going in there. Kids, they don't care. It's all fun, all games, and, you know, they don't care about the styles. They don't care as much about the lighting. Now, you need to pay attention to those things, and it's very important to you, but the kids just really don't care. Now, let me tell you the pitfall with that is that a lot of churches use that to not keep up the space they use for Children's Church. They will throw them in the basement. They'll throw them in the back room or some old Sunday school room that hadn't been painted since Noah got off the ark. They'll throw them in somewhere where half the light bulbs are burned out, and you know, it's right next to the railroad track, and you know, the train comes by right during invitation and blows its horn. You know, a lot of churches, because of that, because, well, this just isn't as important. You know, they want to have the main service, all the focus on it, and have it in the biggest, nicest place. And hey, it ought to be. If there's, you know, Children's Church shouldn't be in the main auditorium, and the main church service shouldn't be in the basement. But nonetheless, Children's Church needs to be in a good place. And I just want to give you a few thoughts on the building or room that you use your Children's Church ministry in. I think there's a few musts what we're going to look at, and then I've got a few things I think that are helpful but not necessary. I've got six things here I want to look at I think that are absolute musts. If you're going to have a Children's Church and you're going to use a particular room for it, you need these six things. Number one, there needs to be enough space. You don't need to cram your kids like a bunch of sardines into some little bitty space. If you've got 50 kids, you need a room that has space enough for 50 kids. If you're going to have 100 kids, you need room with 100 kids worth of space. You don't need to be cramming 100 kids into 50 kids worth of space. It only makes sense. Hey, kids hate being crowded together. I'm claustrophobic. I hate being crowded into a place. I don't go places that are crowded. It's hard for me to go to Walmart a lot of times just because it's crowded. I don't like crowds. I don't like being packed in, feel like I'm hemmed in and I can't move, can't get out. I don't like it. I'm a little bit claustrophobic. Kids don't like being crammed into a space either. There needs to be enough room for the kids. There needs to be some aisle space, some space to move around. That's very important. Yeah, you can pack kids in as best you can, but if the kids don't have anywhere to move, if you've got a kid that needs to go to the bathroom and he can't get out, and especially when it comes time for invitation, if you want to ignore all the practical and only focus on the spiritual in this case, which, hey, a lot of Baptists do, when it comes time for invitation time, those kids need to have a clear path to get down there and come down and hear the gospel. And there also needs to be plenty of room to run the program. You don't need to pin yourself in so you can't move, that you don't have room to preach. I've preached in Children's Church with a very full, packed out, you know, almost record crowd, and have just, you know, 5 or 6 feet of worth of platform space right up in the front of the room, and it's, honestly, it was pretty hard to preach because I didn't have enough room to operate. Now, it was the biggest room we had for the church. We just had a very large crowd. Let me tell you something, though. It's hard to do that every week. You can do it once or twice, but if you're having to do it every week, you need to make some arrangements to have a better room. Number one, you need to have enough space. Number two, heating and air conditioning. This should go without saying, but it needs to be said just to make sure. If you're going to put kids somewhere, you need to make sure that in the summer it's cool, it's not 90 degrees, and in the winter it's not freezing. You need to have some heating and air conditioning in place. You need to have a way to regulate it. That's very important. If it gets too hot, the kids will start sleeping. If it gets too cold, they're going to be shivering, and they're going to be putting their arms inside their shirts, and they're not going to be paying attention. It's very important. And let me tell you something that we use, a very, very practical thing in our church. The auditorium is on one, actually, I guess has two different air conditioning units. It's got two thermostats. And the children's church is on a separate thermostat back there. And let me tell you what we do is we actually will turn that air conditioner on and leave it running the whole time, at least on fan. But we leave it on for the sound to help muffle out the sound. You know, if we sing a lively song in the kids' hall, we actually use that to muffle the sound so it doesn't disturb the main service. That's just a very practical little tip there. Maybe they can help you with. But heating and air conditioning, very important too. Third thing, there needs to be seating. Listen, you don't want to sit on the floor. Kids don't really want to sit on the floor. You can do it. You can have story time. You probably did it when you were in kindergarten. Everybody sit around Indian style in a circle and, you know, while the teacher read a story. You don't need to have the kids sitting down in the floor for 45 minutes. Hey, if it's all you've got, if you run out of seats, it'll work for some. But this does not need to be made general common practice. You need to, folding chairs work great. They're fairly cheap. They hold up pretty well, and even if they get bent up, people can still sit in them. I mean, it takes a lot to destroy a folding chair. But these kids need to have something to sit in. Maybe not pews. Pews are fine, too. Folding chairs work great, though. It doesn't take much, but the kids need something to sit in. I'll tell you, the great thing I like about using folding chairs is that you can enforce a one kid per seat rule. That helps space the kids out. Help give them a little bit of room. You know, if you get them too packed in, if you have a little wiggle worm and have somebody that wants to poke and hit and cause problems, you know, there's not a lot of room to get away from them. And having the one kid per seat rule is great help. That's why, honestly, in a lot of ways, folding chairs create some other problems. Kids want to lean in them and you know, stick their feet up in the back of the one in front of it. There are some problems involved in it, but I'll tell you, the one thing I do like about it is you can space the kids out. You have a lot of control over it. And if you've got a kid that's acting up a little bit, you can just scoot that chair three or four feet out away from whoever he's bothering there next to him. You get a lot more flexibility with it. That's why I kind of like the folding chairs. Anyway, the fourth, restrooms. You need to have close by to the room you're having your children's church in, you need to have a restroom, preferably boys and girls, separate restrooms. You could get by, I guess, if you have one, you know, you can monitor who's going in and out, but there needs to be some close. Kids will need to go to the bathroom. I don't ever remember having a children's church service in our church since I've been back from college, or even ever, that the kid did not have to go to the bathroom. Kids will have to go. You'll have a kid with a nosebleed. You'll have a kid that gets gum all over their hands. I remember one time we had a bubble gum blowing contest. Couldn't get the word out. And I popped a bubble all over my glasses. I need to go to the bathroom and try to wipe my glasses off. There's a lot of stuff that you need to have. You need to have restrooms. They need to be close by. They need to be easily accessible. So kids can get in and out without being a distraction. Listen, they'll have to go. You need to accommodate for it. This is something you can't help. You can force kids to be a little bit cold, you know, if you don't have a good heater in the winter. But I wouldn't recommend that. But the one thing you can't get away from, the kids are going to have to go. And I've told kids and they couldn't go, and I've honestly, I'm gonna tell you the truth, it may be mean. A lot of kids say they go, they don't need to go. And especially during the preaching time, when it comes to preach time, I'm really very hesitant to let a kid go back and leave and use the restroom just for the distraction purposes. And hey, they need to listen to the preaching. If they're gonna go, they need to go during the song service or after the invitation. You need to limit it to emergencies. When it comes to the preaching and the invitation, you need to write that down. It's a good note. I don't think I have it in your notes, but if the kid's going to go to the bathroom, only emergencies during that time. That's the most important time. The kids are going to have to go. You need to make accommodations for it. Fifth thing, needs to be clean. This is another one that should go without saying, but it needs to be said, especially in most Baptist churches. kids may not care. I mean, kids will be grossed out, I guess, if there's cockroaches on the walls. But kids don't care as much. But let me tell you something. Mom and dad will. If there's mildew on the wall, mom and dad may not let little Susie come back. It needs to be clean. Now, for the health of the child, for testimony's sake, but just for practically speaking, if it ain't clean, nobody's going to send their kid back there. It needs to be bright, clean place where you're sending their kids. You need to have the kind of place that you want to put your kid. I think a lot of times we set up rooms and put kids in situations we wouldn't dare put our own kids in, but we think because it's spiritual and because it's church, they ought to be allowed to do it and everybody will be happy about it. Don't think it all worked that way. So it needs to be clean. Sixth thing, there needs to be some distance from the auditorium. You're going to get an ulcer worrying about how loud you are if you're right next to the church auditorium. In our church building, we're relatively close. If I sing, I do quite a bit of song leading, and if I were to sing a very upbeat or loud song, like for instance the little I can't remember the word for it, but the little military chant type style song, "Old Soldier." If I were to do that, and boy, the kids love it, and they get into it, and they go to hollering, I have to worry about doing that, and I have to kind of space it out to maybe when there's some singing or something going up front, because they can hear it up front in our church. And you think, well, that's not so bad. If only the screaming and yelling gets up there, that's not too bad. And hey, I think, you know, I can keep it down to a dull roar most of the time. I like having that option, letting the kids scream. Kids love to scream. You can write that down, too. That's a good one for your notes. It ain't in the notes that I have typed out. Kids like to scream. And you can use that very effectively to wear them out and get it out of their system before the preaching time. But so there needs to be some space between you and the auditorium. And heaven forbid, but if you ever do have a discipline problem, you got a kid that's screaming and yelling and maybe even throwing a cussing fit. Been there, seen it. If something like that's happening, you don't need to be disturbing everybody up in the main church service. You need to be fairly isolated. Now, at the same time, you need to be fairly close, I mean, for security reasons, and there's a lot of other practical reasons to that, too. You need to have some accessibility between the two, but there needs to be a fair amount of isolation where that whatever you're doing is not affecting what's going on in the main service or any other top services you may have going on. If you have like a team service, something, you need to be able to do whatever you need to do, whatever you feel you need to do with those kids to keep their attention, to reach those kids. Very important there. Just very practical, you need to have some distance from the auditorium. A few things that I recommend, just a little bit of experience that I have, they're not necessary, but if you can have these, it's a nice extra bonus and it'll really help you in some areas. First thing is a dedicated room. What I mean by that is a room that is only used for your ministry. That room is the children's church room. Most churches are very multi-purpose. Yeah, Sunday school classroom may be used for the Christian school. It may be used for a children's club like Awana or Master's Club. It may then all of a sudden be turned into an adult Bible study class during the week, and we're very multi-purpose, and I understand that, and that's why this isn't a major deal, but it just would be very nice if you have a room that its main part, even if it's not the only purpose, the main purpose for that room is the children's church ministry. You can decorate it and do all kinds of things, and you don't have to worry about setting it up and tearing it down. It takes a load off your mind if it is only used for that. Large Sunday school classrooms do the trick. I know a lot of churches. I hadn't seen that many churches do it nowadays, but I've seen some built in the past few years that will have a very large fellowship hall type area with those sliding fold out divider deals and can separate out, and they can do that and use part of that for children's church. And hey, that's great. Fellowship halls work great. The room that we use right now in our church is a fellowship hall. It's not a very good size one, but that's where we use it. And, you know, honestly,
for the most part, there's no problem with that. Now, it does hinder us. I would love to be able to decorate a little bit more. And you know, I'd love to have it a little bit more kid-friendly and kid-friendlier colors and, you know, be able to put up maybe some more kid-type posters and such. It's a little bit hard to do because that filter palm may turn around and be used for a baby shower. It may be used, they may have a funeral and feed the family a meal in there. See, it's a little bit more multi-purpose. We're a little bit limited in what we can do. So that's just a little bit of benefit by having a dedicated room. You don't have to have it. It's just nice if you do. The second thing, and this is something our church has and really, really is a big help, and that is having the decision rooms. Having an empty Sunday school classroom or somewhere you can take those kids, get them out of that main the main room, the main service, to be able to deal with them one-on-one in regards to salvation or other spiritual needs. Now, by the way, if you're going to do that, you really need to have two people. You don't need to be pairing off or taking a kid off by themselves. You're asking for trouble, especially if you're taking them way off away. Boy, it just doesn't sound good. In this day and age, you've really got to cover yourself when it comes to even the very appearance of evil. The Bible talks about abstaining from the very appearance of evil. You've got to be extra careful nowadays. Listen, there's so many lawsuits going around, and listen, there's so many perverted sickos out there that are after these little kids, and they may be in your church, and you don't know it. You need to have some checks and some security measures in place, not only to protect those kids from them, but to make sure that everybody else knows that you ain't one of those, that you don't tolerate it, that you're not going to allow something like that to happen. So that's extra. But anyway, a decision room. What we have is at our fellowship hall. There's a couple classrooms right there. We're able to take kids in there, and it's really helpful, especially you're usually very limited in workers, and if we have a big day and we have six or seven kids come down that say that they need to be saved, I can take three or four of them into a room, set them around the table, and can talk to them and deal with them individually. But they can't really hear the singing. They're not worried about their buddies out there. They're not worried about missing the bus. There's less distractions. Listen, it's great. I highly recommend it. It's a lot easier than dealing with the kid down at the front, like at an altar. It's just a whole lot easier to get them out and deal with them away from all the distractions. When I was in college, the last couple of years, we had some college bus routes that we ran. And what they would do is we would actually kind of take kids out in halls. We had a few kind of classrooms we could use, but we'd take kids out and deal with them in halls. The problem was, if there was a lot of kids and you'd be saved, we'd have all the halls crowded up. And then, if you got the kid that wasn't paying attention, was screaming and hollering, and, we had to pull out of a classroom and distracted everybody. I mean, stuff like that works. If you can get them out of that main room, away from that main children's church service, it's good. But beyond that, it's best if you can get them in a little bit more isolated area that you are free from the distractions and all that. But as I say, warning, flashing lights, be careful. You need to take some steps and have some safety precautions in that. People ought to trust you because you're a Christian. Not just because you're Christian, but because you ought to be trustworthy. But listen, the day and age we're in, you can't be too careful in dealing with these little kids. I'm not going to deal a lot with that. I don't even like to dwell on that. It's scary, and it honestly hurts me to think that we have to do some of that stuff. But the day and age we live in, with all the abuse scandals, especially in the Catholic Church, you've really got to cover yourself. But nonetheless, decision rooms, great. You ought to have them. Third thing, no or limited windows. I'm a big fan of natural lighting. It's a lot more pure. I think it helps for the general feel and mood for a room, especially if it's bright and sunshine outside. The problem is it's not always bright and sunshiny outside.
If it's dark and storming, which may happen a few times a year, it doesn't happen very often, but you don't want little kids being scared because of the thunder and lightning and stuff that they can see through the window. Also, you know, it just gives kids a chance to let their minds wander. You probably remember being in a classroom at some time in church or maybe in school and being able to look out the window and watch the little squirrels play and watch the trucks go by. And you don't want to give the kids a chance to divert their attention somewhere else. You need to be able to keep them focused. And one of the easiest ways to do that is no windows. Or if there are windows, put curtains on them. They should not be just open up to let the kids watch whatever's going outside. If there's windows in the room, need to have blinds, curtains, or something. And then, if there are windows and you've got curtains and blinds and stuff, you don't need to let kids sit next to them. This distraction, they're going to be looking through them, peeking through them, and everything else. That's another free little piece of advice there. But it's just best if the room you use does not have windows. If it does have windows, keep it as few as possible and keep them covered up and keep the kids away from them. Just practical advice there for you. Fourth thing, a sound system. My recommendation on one is if you don't need one, don't use one. It's another headache. It's at least another person to have back there helping you. And they're going to be focused on maybe making that the sound system. Or maybe you run it yourself. You've got a little system up on the platform. But even if you have that, then you're distracted in dealing with that. Kids honestly work better, my experience, with just you and your natural voice. If you can keep your voice without losing it, with screaming and hollering and singing and stuff, I wouldn't even worry about it. If you're in a small enough room to do it, that's the way I recommend it. The room that we use is fairly small. We don't even have a sound system back there. I recommend not using one, to tell you the truth. Now, let me tell you this. We have a big Vacation Bible School services during the summer. And honestly, our Vacation Bible School are not traditional Vacation Bible Schools. Ours are more of a children's crusade. In fact, we've thought about even changing the name of it just because we run ours so radically different than other people's. But we'll have in our church auditorium, seats 200 probably comfortably, probably about that size. Well, we've had over 300 kids in there before. And now it gets rowdy and rambunctious. And tell you something, in that size auditorium with that many kids, you need a sound system. You need that extra amplification for kids to hear your voice. And once you get to singing, the kids are going to drown you out, and you need to be able to be heard. Now, I've been in the same room and had 40 or 50 kids in there. I didn't use the sound system. I would just use my voice until it became a strain on my voice. Once it became to be a strain on my voice to be able to be heard above them or get their attention, that's when you go to the sound system. But the general rule of thumb is, I think the easiest thing to go with is if you don't need one, don't use one. And the way you know if you need one is if you're straining your voice to be heard over them, you don't, no sense in killing your voice, or you can't get their attention. You can't get loud enough to get their attention. You can't lead in the singing or even in the preaching. You're not being able to keep their attention. You can't get enough volume to keep their attention. General rule of thumb, though, if you don't need it, don't use it. If you can be heard without it, it's as easy as not to use one. Those are just a few things I think will help you if you need them. And if situations permit, I think will be a help to you in your ministry. But also, those last few things we've discussed are not necessary. You can get by without them. You could have a little bitty room and use a sound system and get by with it. You may not have a room that's dedicated. You may not have a separate place to take kids. You can survive. You can get by with it. You can adapt. And as I say, most of your
your service and the way that you run your children's service, you honestly need to adapt to yourself. You can't run it the way I run it. You need to adapt it to your own abilities, your own skills, and the way you're able to communicate with the kids. You need to be able to adapt it to what you have. If you have a room that's really close to the auditorium, I would recommend not getting very loud. If you don't have a bathroom close by, you can take steps and have just certain times to take groups to go to the bathroom. You can march them out, you know, 8 or 10 at a time and go back to the bathroom. You can take some steps and you can adapt it to that. But there's just a few things I think will be a help to you, very practical things, in choosing a place for a children's church, or maybe if you're building a building, some things to take into consideration in the building process. But nonetheless, I think those few things will be a help to you. Even if you do have a room already there, I think those will help you out a lot.